Chapter 8. Monday night, Lan Zhan arrives home to find Wei Ying ensconced in his studio, headphones on and his video editing software open. A quick glance reveals it's the shoot from Saturday. And while Lan Zhan would like to linger and watch it, he finds it absolutely intolerable if people hover over his shoulder, so he doesn't. He does note that Wei Ying's coffee mug is empty, and he replaces it with a glass of lemon-lime sparkling water without Wei Ying reacting in any way. Instead of creeping on his girlfriend's work, he settles down at his desk with his own laptop and makes an account on Ravelry, intending to spend some time exploring the site to see if he can figure it out without asking Ni Huaisong. To Lan Zhan's pleasant surprise, the landing page after he signs in has a sidebar with a Getting Started section. It gives him a general overview of the website, and he finds himself deeply impressed in short order. The existence of a pattern search makes sense, but it also has pages for each individual yarn? Experimentally, he searches for the yarn he used for Wei Ying's scarf, and then clicks over to the tab labeled Projects, and loses approximately 5 minutes scrolling through page after page of knitted and crocheted items in ombre colors. He stares at a sweater with a white yarn as the base, and a purple-pink ombre worked through it in geometric patterns. He shakes himself, and remembers he has the whole rest of the site to explore. Lan Zhan skips the community section. As he has seen stated in commercials for reality television shows, he's not here to make friends. He does take the time to look through and complete his profile with just enough detail that he doesn't seem like a bot or a creep. While he's not certain if that's something that happens on knitting websites the way it happens on OnlyFans and Twitter, he's still determined to appear and behave appropriately, and for him, that includes having an actual profile photo. It's a photo of the bunnies. In his brief spin through other people's projects, he saw a multitude of pet profile photos, so he knows this is an acceptable choice for Han Xiajun, his new knitting alias. When he's satisfied with his choices, he clicks over to the pattern tab, ready to hold on to his butt, and searches for hat. There are over 140,000 results. The website itself apparently will only show him 100,000. There are over 2,000 pages of hat patterns. Lan Zhan blinks. No wonder Ni Huaisong warned him. What an overwhelming amount of information to attempt to sift through. He scrolls through the first page, just out of curiosity, and finds that they're mostly beanies. This is disappointing. Lan Zhan doesn't think Wei Ying is particularly into beanies either, and he doesn't want to have to dig through 2,000 pages of hat patterns to find the non-beanie options. The left side of the search page has an array of filters, which Lan Zhan scrolls down and down and down to explore. These are detailed. If Lan Zhan wished, he could narrow his search by yarn thickness, needle size, the amount of yarn required, difficulty rating, whether it's from a favorite designer. Lan Zhan doesn't even have a favorite designer yet. Maybe he'll have one eventually. For now, he focuses on trying to find a hat he'd be interested in wearing. There's this incredibly detailed filtering system he should learn how to use after all. It takes a little while for Lan Zhan to figure out what he's looking for in terms of filters, because there are so many, and they are so granular, and he's not entirely sure what they all mean. The design elements section makes perfect sense, because he knows most of those terms from reading about garment design. The construction section is a mixed bag, Buttonholes, obvious. Bottom up? He can figure that out from context, he thinks. Entrelac? Steaks? Thrums? Banjan almost opens another tab to Google some of the terminology. But no, he's looking for a hat. After a bit more poking around, under accessories, and then hat, he finds a filter that lets him pick the style of hat he's interested in. Beret slash tam seems like a good place to start. And when he selects it, he finds himself looking at a much more reasonable list of only 9,000 or so matches. After a quick scroll through the results, he thinks to exclude crocheted patterns, since he doesn't know how to do that, and then sorts the results by most popular, reasoning that something knitted by large numbers of people would likely have most of the errors worked out. The trouble with having thus refined his search is this. Banjan likes nearly all of the hat options. He finds himself repeatedly drawn to the ones knitted in multicolored patterns, which he learns through clicking on a few tend to be called colorwork or fair isle. Good to know. But in spite of the potential possibilities there, he thinks he should stick to something simpler for his second hat ever. He does save a few of the patterned ones in his queue, so he can easily find them again later. They're very pretty, and it also gives Lanjian a chance to experiment with the queue functionality. After considering his options, Lanjian settles on what he thinks should be a fairly simple lace beret. It has 4.5 stars out of 5, whatever that means, and the difficulty rating is low. If he has any questions, he can always ask Ni Huaisong. A few pages deeper, he runs across the absolute perfect hat to knit for Wei Ying. It's garter stitch, with the stitch pattern running diagonally up the hat from the brim to the crown. He has no idea how it's going to work. It's tagged seamed and worked flat, so that's a small clue at least. But he's absolutely determined. There's enough of the red ombre yarn left to knit it, and the idea of Wei Ying having a matching set of knitted accessories fully consumes him. He adds both hats to his queue, downloads the patterns, and goes digging in the neatly organized clear plastic totes in his closet for the appropriate yarns. The beanie he knitted still lurks on his dresser, waiting to be worn, so he snaps a picture of it and sends it to Ni Huaisong. To Ni Huaisong. I discovered after knitting this that I dislike beanies. Can it be salvaged? What do you suggest? The response comes as he is carefully sorting the yarn and the needles into the reusable silicone zipper bags he purchased for the kitchen and has appropriated from himself as project organizers. From Ni Huaisong. Oh no! Tragedy! Not that I did that once. Knitted a whole ass Fair Isle sweater. Put it on and it made me look like a football player. Shoulders for days. Not the look I was going for. Anyway. Rip it back and re-BO and call it a headband? Lanjian considers that. He's seen slouchy headbands in fashion editorials. He thinks he'd be able to work something like that into an ensemble. The idea is much more appealing than the beanie, for certain. Thank you. I will try that. Ravelry is an impressive website. You were correct. I am very pleased with the pattern search functions. OMG, right? Did it blow your little mind? My mind was thoroughly blown. Lololol. Lanjian smiles at his phone a little. After a moment's consideration, he He texts the two pattern links to Nie Huaisong and gets some advice and links to tutorials that will help with the new techniques. Apparently, he'll be doing something called short rows. Nie Huaisong assures him that they're easier than they sound, and offers to meet him at the queer cafe again if he needs help. Lan Zhan thinks that he'd like to meet with Nie Huaisong at the queer cafe again, regardless of his success with solo knitting. It was nice to spend time there, with a friend. He finds he wants to do that more frequently, which is a pleasant surprise, and Lan Zhan takes the time to bask in it, the way Lan Yi suggests he do when he has a personal emotional breakthrough. "Hey, babe," Wei Ying says, leaning over the back of the couch to drop a kiss on the top of his head. "How long have you been home?"
"An hour or so," Lan Zhan says, setting down the beanie where he was carefully unweaving his woven-in ends. "Is the video coming out well?"
He tips his head back into the couch, looking up at Wei Ying through his eyelashes. "Yeah," Wei Ying says, a little red across the cheekbones. "Yeah, actually, that was what I... Wait." He blinks, face doing a thing like he's working out a complicated math equation. "You knew what I was editing?" Lan Zhan stares at him for a moment, and Wei Ying's jaw drops. "Oh, holy fuck, you brought me sparkling water!"
"I did," Lan Zhan agrees, keeping his expression serene as Wei Ying's face screws up in delighted embarrassment.
"I didn't even notice!" Wei Ying wails, throwing himself halfway over the couch to bury his face in Lan Zhan's neck, upside down. "I have the self-preservation instincts of a snail. A drunk snail. What if you were a murderer?"
"I am not a murderer," Lan Zhan says, resting one hand on the nape of Wei Ying's neck. "Exactly what a murderer would say," Wei Ying mutters, a joke so long running it's reflex at this point. "Sorry I didn't say welcome home." "You were working," Lan Zhan says, petting the wrong way against his girlfriend's undercut, enjoying the texture against his fingertips. "You are very lovely when you are focused on a project. I didn't mind."
"Hyperfocus is a bitch, but damned if I don't get shit done," Wei Ying says into his neck, muffled, and kisses Lan Zhan under the ear.
He hauls himself away, propped more upright, and slings a hand down to catch one of Lan Zhan's. "Speaking of work, which is why I came out here in the first place, except for how I also came out to say welcome home and I love you, I need to get your opinion on a video." He sways their joined hands, thoughtfully, and adds, "Opinion and possibly permission."
"Permission?"
Lan Zhan is intrigued. "Possibly," Wei Ying repeats, nodding. "Depending on how you feel about it."
Lan Zhan says, curiosity piqued, allowing himself to be tugged off the couch and into Wei Ying's studio.
"Okay, so," Wei Ying says, dropping into his desk chair and unplugging his headphones from his computer speakers. "I did a preliminary cut of the overstimulation shoot, and the good news is that it's extremely hot. I'm gonna get so many tips from this one, babe. It'll be obscene." Lan Zhan opens his mouth to comment, and Wei Ying adds, "figuratively and metaphorically." Lan Zhan closes his mouth and nods approvingly.
"Is there bad news?"
"That," Wei Ying says, with careful emphasis, "really depends on your point of view." He glances sidelong up at Lan Zhan, dragging his lower lip between his teeth. "I can still edit out the parts where you talk," he starts, sounding a bit reluctant, and Lan Zhan gets an idea of where this might be going. "But the thing is, sweetie," Wei Ying turns back to the computer, advances the editing program until the image on screen is of him riding the vibrating dildo, and hits the space bar with a sharp tap.
"You will come," Lan Zhan's voice says, on the speakers, as the Wei Ying on screen writhes and moans. "When I say you can."
"The thing is, it's really, really hot," Wei Ying says, a little squeaky.
The Wei Ying on screen is now begging to come and being denied. Lan Zhan's skin prickles hot all over from the memory and the visual and the sound of it. His voice cuts in again, authoritative and hard, and even the way that it sounds strange in the playback can't entirely stop the jolt of arousal that rises in his belly. Lan Zhan absolutely wants to watch the whole video exactly like this, wants to relive the entire scenario with multiple camera angles. The video cuts to one of the close-ups. There was a question here. Wei Ying had a question for him, but he can't seem to remember what it was.
"You wanted permission?" Lan Zhan manages, eventually, eyes locked on the screen.
"Yeah?" Wei Ying says. I was hoping that you'd be okay with me posting it like this." He hits the spacebar again, turning in his desk chair to peer up at Lan Zhan's face. "It's really good being able to hear you," he says, still a little nervous. "It adds to the video a lot." The hesitance in Wei Ying's voice cut through the horny fog in Lan Zhan's brain. Wei Ying would like to post the video as it is, with Lan Zhan's involvement. Wei Ying would like to post porn of Lan Zhan, at least of his voice. Lan Zhan would be on Wei Ying's OnlyFans. Anyone who watched would know Wei Ying has a boyfriend, a dom, a shooting partner. They would get to see how eager Wei Ying is to obey him. They'd get to hear how much Lan Zhan enjoys being in control. Rather to Lan Zhan's surprise, the idea only feeds the fire burning behind his belly button. Interesting. He hadn't expected exhibitionism to be a turn-on at all, given how it goes against all his natural instincts. He prods lightly at the idea of actual exhibitionism in front of a live audience, and recoils immediately and viscerally, just the thought of it making him want to curl up and die. No to that. No thank you. This, though? The video? This seems safe. He imagines, for a moment, the reactions of Wei Ying's normal fans, the comments they would leave, and his ears flush hot. "I don't have to," Wei Ying is saying, when Lan Zhan tunes back in to the world around him. "I can still edit it out if it makes you uncomfortable. That's totally fine. I just thought I'd ask."
"Yes," Lan Zhan says, cutting him off firmly.
Wei Ying shuts his mouth with a click. He swallows, twice, and says, "Really?"
"Yes," Lan Zhan says, again, with even more determination. "Post it like this."
He pauses to sort out his feelings, and to try, at least, to put them into words.
"I find the idea appealing. That people will know about us, anonymously."
Wei Ying blinks up at him, the movement so clear and precise, Lan Zhan almost expects to hear the plinking of a xylophone. "Oh," he says, and then,
"Oh."
A slow smile spreads across his face, matching the heat unfurling behind Lan Zhan's ribs.
"I see."
He leans over, nudging his shoulder into Lan Zhan's hip.
"Didn't think you'd be into that, Gaga." "Neither did I," Lan Zhan admits, dropping his hand onto the back of Wei Ying's neck and squeezing. "I enjoy learning new things about myself with Wei Ying."
Good to know. Wei Ying hums thoughtfully, letting his head relax as Lan Zhan continues his massage. I'll make a checklist of everything we haven't tried yet, so we can work our way through it, and you can keep learning things. Oh, or we could take some of those kink quizzes.
Quizzes? Interesting. After how helpful the mental health quiz was, Lan Zhan finds himself rather biased toward quizzes as a form of self-discovery, even the silly ones that Wei Ying sends him that he found on Twitter. According to the most recent What Weird and Adorable Animal Are You quiz, Lan Zhan is a capybara. He does have to admit that he would like to soak in a hot spring full of yuzu, so it rather has him pegged there.
Whatever Wei Ying wants, he says, leaning down to press a kiss to Wei Ying's temple. I should get started on dinner.
He should. He's hungry, and tonight's noodle stir-fry has a few more steps than usual, and even over 2 months in now, it still warms him through to see Wei Ying eating something Lan Zhan made. So Lan Zhan is going to go make dinner, even though what he wants to do right now is bend Wei Ying over his desk and fuck him incoherent while watching and listening to a video of Wei Ying fucking himself incoherent at Lan Zhan's behest. I should finish editing this video, Wei Ying says, turning his head so he can kiss Lan Zhan's collarbone. After dinner, though, he pulls back and looks up at Lan Zhan, eyes dark, lips parted. After dinner, you're gonna rail me like you couldn't yesterday, right? Lan Zhan says, pressing his mouth to the corner of Wei Ying's, a quick brush of heat before he steps determinedly away.
If you're good, he adds, sternly, and shuts the studio door on Wei Ying's delighted squawk of outrage.
Wei Ying is very good, and Lan Zhan rewards him accordingly. Lan Zhan gets his key in the door somehow, he thinks. He must, because there's a key in his hand, and the door in front of him is unlocked, and he recognizes the number on it as his apartment number, so he must have done that. The door swings open when he remembers to push at it, and Lan Zhan steps through it out of muscle memory. That muscle memory carries him through shutting the door behind him and throwing the deadbolt, and then the last of his functioning abandons him. The door keeps him upright when he leans back against it, and Lan Zhan stares into the entryway of his apartment in a blank kind of haze and can't remember what he needs to do next. His eyes burn, and his nose is congested. There's a deep ache in his chest, and he knows that all that is for a particular reason, but the reason, like everything else, is very far away. He can't. Welcome home, someone says. Wei Ying says, the sound coming from deeper in the room. How was it? A moment later, a face appears around the corner of the wall, eyes bright, mouth smiling, skin just a little flushed. All of those things are familiar, too. Wei Ying looks like this for a reason that Lan Zhan knows and expects to see, but he can't access the information right now. All he can do is watch as the smile drops from Wei Ying's face. Watches his eyebrows crease up in concern, the happiness in his eyes turning to worry. Babe? Wei Ying asks, coming around the corner into the entryway proper. He has a cooking spoon in one hand. Lan Zhan fixates on that detail as Wei Ying takes a step closer and reaches out with his free hand. Sweet, is something wrong? Lan Zhan bursts into tears. Oh no, Wei Ying says. There's a clattering sound, and then two warm hands on Lan Zhan's face, a body pressing close. and Lan Zhan drops his keys and bag, and wraps his arms around Wei Ying like he needs it to stay standing. Honestly, he does.
Oh no, honey, Lan Zhan,
Wei Ying says, his voice dripping with concern, thumbs swiping away tears.
What happened?
Lan Zhan can't. He can't. He shakes his head, because he knows something is wrong, but it's carefully walled off right now, because remembering what's wrong would be worse, and he had to get home safely. Unfortunately, in walling off whatever is currently making him cry, he's also walled off all his capacity for language. A sob escapes him, his shoulders hitching miserably, and he tries to curl closer into Wei Ying.
Okay,
Wei Ying says, still cupping his face, voice firm even as it shakes.
Okay, sweetie, you don't have to tell me, but can you understand me? Do you know what I'm saying?
Lan Zhan manages a nod, because that's about all he can do right now, and he thinks Wei Ying might nod back, but it's hard to tell through the tears.
Thank you for answering, Wei Ying says, carefully maneuvering so Lan Zhan can't bury his face into Wei Ying's neck the way he desperately wants to.
Lan Zhan whines, and Wei Ying leans in and up to kiss his forehead.
I know, he says, soothingly. I know, but I have to ask you a couple more questions first, okay?
He kisses the side of Lan Zhan's nose. Can you be good and answer a couple of questions for me? Lan Zhan nods again, sucking in a shuddering breath. He always wants to be good for Wei Ying. It's easier to be good for Wei Ying than it is to be good for himself.
Good, Wei Ying says. Good boy, Lan Zhan.
He pushes away a little bit, one hand falling away from Lan Zhan's face, to run carefully over his neck, his shoulders, his chest. Are you hurt or injured? Everything about Lan Zhan hurts, but not from an injury. He can remember that much. The ache in his head and chest and bones is familiar. He's felt it before, but can't recall why. Lan Zhan shakes his head, because there's no way he can put the rest of it into an answer.
Good, Wei Ying says, squeezing Lan Zhan's shoulder.
Is Lan Huan hurt? Did something happen to your brother?
Not recently, Lan Zhan thinks, the words so sudden and clear that it surprises him.
They fade and blur almost immediately, dissolving into hot tears that roll down his cheeks. And he shakes his head.
That's good, Wei Ying says, hands once again there to wipe wetness from Lan Zhan's face.
Is there an emergency situation? Do we need to go somewhere? Going somewhere is the last thing Lan Zhan wants, when it took him so much work, he thinks, to get home. He shakes his head, and this time when he curls forward to press his face into Wei Ying's neck, Wei Ying lets him.
Okay, sweetie, Wei Ying says, voice vibrating into Lan Zhan's skin.
Last question, I promise, okay?
Lan Zhan nods into his neck, and Wei Ying rocks them back and forth a little bit.
Did you just have a really hard therapy session today?
Lan Zhan cracks open, so hard and fast, that he wonders why he didn't hear the snap of bone.
Oh, yes. He was at therapy before he came here, in Lan Yi's office, with a blanket on his lap and tea in his hand. And they talked about... Lan Zhan sobs again, yanking Wei Ying closer, his tears finding their second, possibly third, wind. He nods into Wei Ying's skin, all the shattered pieces of him scattered and jagged and wickedly sharp.
He can't. He can't.
Okay,
Wei Ying says, hands running over Lan Zhan's back from nape to tailbone, pressing hard like he's trying to force the pain out of his meridians. It's okay, baby. I have you. You're safe. Don't worry. He keeps talking as he carefully extricates himself from Lan Zhan's desperate clinging, hands on Lan Zhan the whole time. Come on, sweetheart. You can't stay in the entryway all night. Can you be good for me? Through his tears, Lan Zhan scrapes up a nod. Good boy, Wei Ying says, squeezing Lan Zhan's shoulders. I knew you could be good. You're perfect, and I love you. Take off your shoes for me, sweetie. His hands are already slipping under Lan Zhan's coat, coaxing it off his arms, and he hangs it up one-handed, the other snug around Lan Zhan's wrist. Come on, baby. It's okay to cry, but you should be more comfortable. Let me take care of you. Lan Zhan, blessedly, stops thinking, although he does not stop crying. He lets his eyes drift half-closed, and does as Wei Ying says, allows himself to be guided away from the entryway and onto the couch. Wei Ying's hands are in his hair, and then at the sides of his head, and then wrapping something warm around him, and then pressing something into his hand that he eventually realizes are tissues. Lan Zhan wipes his face as something wraps around his neck, and then there are two soft presences in his lap, and then Wei Ying is back, tugging gently at Lan Zhan's shoulders, till his sluggish brain gets the idea, and he lays down to recline against Wei Ying's chest. Shh, Wei Ying is saying, his hands rubbing circles on Lan Zhan's sternum. It's okay, sweetheart. I have you. Wei Ying never stops speaking, his voice gentle as it washes over Lan Zhan like waves on a shore, buffing away all his rough edges until he's smooth and glowing as a piece of sea glass. He cries himself out for what he's fairly certain is the second time today, and lets himself be limp against Wei Ying and greedily steal his heat, feeling his heartbeat at the back of his neck, his breathing steady and strong. Lan Zhan shuts his burning eyes and half turns, letting his cheek rest against Wei Ying's chest so he can hear the thump-thump of blood circulating and nothing else. You back? Wei Ying asks, hand stilling on Lan Zhan's collarbone.
Yes,
Lan Zhan says, his throat thick with tears. He swallows, then swallows again, and blinks as Wei Ying shifts underneath him and grabs a waiting glass of water from the table. Lan Zhan drinks gratefully and considers pressing it against his temple, where his head is throbbing from all the crying, and then he realizes the only other person in the room is Wei Ying, who would never judge him, and he does just that. The ice-cold shock of it is bracing. It immediately helps the headache, which was what Lan Zhan was hoping for, and has the added benefit of restoring some of his higher brain function.
Thank you, he says, waiting for other words to return, wondering vaguely how long it'll take this time.
Of course, Wei Ying says, relaxing under Lan Zhan in a way that makes it abruptly obvious exactly how tense he was previously. His hand starts moving again, soothing circles on Lan Zhan's chest. I'm good here, he says, but do you want to sit up? Lan Zhan considers that for a moment. He's also very comfortable against Wei Ying's chest, but he'd also like to look at him, and it will be easier to drink water if he's upright.
Yes, he says, wanting to add an extra request to that, but not quite finding the language.
Fortunately for him, he doesn't have to, because what he wanted was for Wei Ying to keep touching him, and Wei Ying never lets go as he helps Lan Zhan resituate himself on the couch.
He gets himself with his back against the cushions, discovering in the process that he has both rabbits in his lap, that he's covered with a blanket, and that, bizarrely, he's wearing the scarf he knit for Wei Ying. His hair is down as well, and the dangly earrings he was wearing earlier are on the table instead of in his ears. That puts some of the earlier sensations into context, and Wei Ying curls into his side, arm over his shoulders in a very determined kind of cuddle, as Lun Zhan sips his ice water and processes the last half hour or so as the rest of his brain processes come back online. Wei Ying holds him, finger combing through his unbound hair, and quietly hums what Lun Zhan barely recognizes as a slowed-down version of a Carly Rae Jepsen song.
"Dinner,"
he says, his voice still a rasp. Wei Ying was cooking tonight, he remembers this now, and he was looking forward to eating it, and if he's ruined dinner with his breakdown, he thinks he might start crying again. "Are you hungry?" Wei Ying asks immediately. "It's soup. You got home right before I could add the rice noodles, so it's just hanging out staying warm until we want to eat. I'll put the noodles in and get you a bowl." He makes as though to get up, and Lun Zhan grabs Wei Ying's wrist, puts Wei Ying's hand firmly back into his hair, and holds it there until he gets the picture and settles back down.
"No,"
he says, belatedly, and after another breath,
"thank you."
Lun Zhan takes another sip of water.
"Later."
"Okay," Wei Ying says, going back to combing out Lan Zhan's hair. "Whatever you need, sweetie." He settles his non-hair-combing hand on Lan Zhan's thigh and squeezes, a comforting pressure. "What do you need?" Lan Zhan leans into him a bit harder, letting his free hand stroke over Sui Bian's soft black fur.
"Just this," he says. "For a little while longer."
"Okay," Wei Ying says, again, and he shifts a little so Lun Zhan can curl into him. "You know," he says, lightly, his hands unceasing in their soothing movements, "when I said you could manufacture a crisis for me to fix, I was kidding." It's enough to curl the corners of Lun Zhan's mouth, just a bit.
"You told me you liked it when I spoil you,"
he says, voice still sandpaper rough, and Wei Ying laughs. "I do," he says, fond and worried, "but don't spoil me at your own expense, Gaga." He kisses Lun Zhan's temple. "I'm joking," Wei Ying whispers, unnecessarily, but kindly. "I love you. It's okay. Just keep breathing." Lun Zhan inhales Wei Ying, vanilla and salt and a bit of coffee, and he finishes his glass of water and he slowly releases the tension in his neck and head and chest. The crying has left him sore, emotionally and physically exhausted. He's practicing this thing he's heard about in therapy called self-care by giving himself some time to recover before he tries to get up and do something productive. Remembering the concept of therapy reminds him of why he was crying in the first place, and Lun Zhan immediately shies away from it like a frightened horse. He doesn't start sobbing again, though, so he carefully circles back, looks at that reason sidelong in his mind. When he remains still, dry-eyed, he mentally reaches out a hand and touches why he was crying as an experiment. Lun Zhan continues not crying, and he relaxes somewhat. "Good. Okay. He can do this."
"We spoke,"
he says, tasting the syllables,
"about my mother."
5 words, all of them simple and straightforward. Simultaneously no explanation at all, and an explanation of everything. And he knows Wei Ying understands, because his breath catches. Oh, Wei Ying says, taking the empty glass away from Lan Zhan and setting it on the table. Oh, sweetie. He climbs up onto his knees and wraps both arms around Lan Zhan, tucking him against his chest and stroking his hair. You don't have to tell me about it, he says, voice reverberating in his chest. Lan Zhan pets the rabbits and lets himself be held.
I want to, Lan Zhan says, to Wei Ying's beating heart.
There are so few people left who knew her. His voice cracks in the middle, and he swallows, eyes prickling again.
More people should know her.
Okay, Wei Ying says, from above and around him. Whatever you need. Lan Zhan takes a deep breath, feeling his diaphragm unstick itself from the inside of his ribs.
She was kind, he half whispers. Creative. She taught me Guqin.
Another breath.
She liked music and flowers. I remember her garden.
In his memory, he's lost in a forest, full of color and scent and texture, blossoms looming over his head to shade him from the hot sun. And he wasn't afraid, because he knew if he just followed the sound of her voice, he wouldn't be lost anymore.
She laughed easily. Lan Huan takes after her.
Wei Ying says, kissing the top of his head. It sounds like you do, too. Lan Zhan allows.
Not like him.
Wei Ying makes a sound like he wants to disagree, but doesn't actually speak.
She was ill, Lan Zhan says, voice tightening up. It got worse instead of better. She was tired.
He forces himself to breathe, forces his diaphragm to expand and stretch again.
We saw her less and less.
The next breath is slow and full of knives.
It became a reward for good behavior.
Wei Ying inhales, chest lurching under Lan Zhan's cheek.
That's fucked up, he says immediately.
Lan Zhan, that's so fucked up.
Yes,
Lan Zhan says, with the quiet pain of someone who has only recently realized just how fucked up it was.
It was.
Wei Ying squeezes him, movement almost helpless, and Lan Zhan turns his face into Wei Ying's shirt and breathes his scent.
She had no immune system by the end. We had to wash our hands, stay still. We could barely touch her.
Another ragged breath.
She died when I was 6.
I'm so sorry, Lan Zhan. Wei Ying whispers, still combing through his hair, here and alive and breathing and touching as much of Lan Zhan as he can.
No one told me,
Lan Zhan says, and the grief burns away into a cold fury that he can look back at that time with clear eyes.
No one told me what happened. I thought I had done something wrong.
He can hear his pulse in his ears.
I thought if I was good enough, I could see her again.
Wei Ying goes rigid against him, heart thundering against Lan Zhan's cheek in time with his own.
Wow,
he says.
Wow,
Lan Zhan. I'm gonna go back in time and find every adult in your life and kick their fucking asses. What the fuck?
Lan Zhan almost smiles at that. If he ever does invent time travel, apparently he and Wei Ying will get into an argument about who gets to use it to fight the other person's caretakers first. No need,
he says, exhaling slowly and letting some of the anger flow out along his breath. My father is dead, and my uncle... Lan Zhan sighs. He did his best. He has regrets. He rolls his shoulders gently, and Wei Ying gets the hint and settles down next to him, pressed against his side. Lan Shiren did not approve of my mother, but he has... Lan Zhan pauses, goes back to where the beginning of this explanation should be, and starts again. Lan Huan has a project. About her. Collecting photos and videos and stories from people who knew her. Before. Lan Shiren has helped him with it, by providing names and contact information and such. Okay, Wei Ying says, though reluctantly. I'm removing your uncle from my shit list. Lan Zhan nods his thanks, though seriously, and Wei Ying strokes his thumb across the inside of Lan Zhan's wrist. That sounds like a cool project your brother is working on, he says, softly. How much has he found out?
I don't know, Lan Zhan admits, a little ashamed.
He allows himself to feel the shame, acknowledges it, and moves on.
I've never looked at any of it. It was too...
He searches for the words.
Painful. Futile. Asking about her wasn't against the rules, but Lan Shiren clearly didn't like answering, so...
He shrugs.
I stopped.
Habit, huh? Wei Ying squeezes his wrist. What about now? Lan Zhan teases his fingers through Sui Bian's fur, and then through Bi Chen's so she doesn't feel left out.
I think I would like to see it, he says, the words making his feelings real, like painting truth into existence. I would like to know more about her.
He turns his wrist over in Wei Ying's grip to grab his in return, linking them together.
I would like to share her with you.
I'd like that, Wei Ying says. I'd like that a lot. He sighs, tipping his head onto Lan Zhan's shoulder, peers down at the rabbits. Are your parents still alive? He asks them. Or are we a whole household of tragic orphans?
We are their parents now, Lan Zhan says, firmly. Their tragedy is over.
Good point, Wei Ying says. He presses his forehead into Lan Zhan's neck. How are you feeling?
Tired, Lan Zhan says, with blunt honesty. But better.
He shifts so he and Wei Ying are holding hands instead of wrists, and squeezes his fingers.
Thank you, but...
Lan Zhan tilts his head down at his boyfriend, a question in his eyebrows.
Why am I wearing your scarf?
Oh, Wei Ying says, sitting up and rubbing his nose with one hand, scrunching it up in something like embarrassment. No, it's not as harsh as embarrassment. It's more sheepish. I may have very slightly panicked when you came home sobbing, which I think is a reasonable reaction to have. And I always feel really, like, warm and loved and cared for when I wear my scarf, and I wanted you to feel that way, so I put it on you. He drops his hand and gives Lan Zhan a lopsided smile. I realize that it might not work the same way because, like, you're the one that made it, so I refer you to my earlier statement about my entirely reasonable panic. Lan Zhan cups Wei Ying's jaw in his free hand and kisses him. Slow, gentle, a thank you and apology at once.
It worked, he says, against Wei Ying's warm mouth. I feel very loved. Another kiss.
I feel very cared for. A third kiss, with a little bit more tongue. You said there was soup? Wei Ying laughs against Lan Zhan's lips. Lan Zhan inhales like the sound is oxygen, and he can transport Wei Ying's laughter directly into his bloodstream. Yeah, there's soup. He buries both hands into Lan Zhan's hair and massages his scalp, the muscles at the back of his skull that are tight and sore from crying. It'll take like 10 minutes to finish it up. You want to go rinse your face and change into gym jams while I do that?
Yes,
Lan Zhan says, and between the two of them, they manage to extricate Lan Zhan from the blanket and scarf and rabbits, with a minimum of disturbance to the rabbits, which is obviously the most important part. After putting on soft clothes and splashing his face with the coldest water available from the tap, Lan Zhan feels better. Less fragile, a little more steady. He feels better still after a bowl of Wei Ying soup. Coconut milk and curry and tofu and shrimp. Warm and comforting. It's good, but it's not enough. Lan Zhan is still achingly hollow. Scraped out to the edges, with nothing left inside but old grief rolling around like a single marble in an empty swimming pool. He's not sad. He's just nothing. Too worn out for emotions. He doesn't like it. Accustomed as he's become to having Wei Ying in his life, filling his heart up with joy and chaos and color. Lan Zhan wants that feeling, not this hollow blankness. How are you doing? Wei Ying asks him, when their bowls are clean and the leftovers have been put away. He tugs Lan Zhan closer by the belt of his bathrobe and leans their foreheads together. You seem a little off. You tired? Want to go to bed early? I'll come too and draw on my laptop while you cuddle my thighs. No, Lan Zhan says, letting his eyes slip closed, leaning a little more weight into Wei Ying's body. Don't want to sleep. He wants other things, and he slips his hands around to Wei Ying's lower back. I want. Lan Zhan still struggles to say it, sometimes, which he knows is ridiculous, but he's a work in progress. I want to feel something. Anything. You. Wei Ying pulls him closer. Okay, he whispers. I can do that. His lips brush over Lan Zhan's, skin tingling in their wake. What do you need, sweetie? Lan Zhan squeezes his eyes shut, a shaky exhale leaving him drained and exhausted. Take care of me, he says, too tired to self-censor, too tired to bother feeling the hot bloom of shame that always wants to spike when he actually asks for this. He's allowed to want this. He's allowed to want to be cared for. He's allowed to ask his beloved to care for him, and to expect that it will happen. He's allowed. You want me to be in charge tonight? Wei Ying asks, close enough that his lips brush Lan Zhan's cheek. Lan Zhan nods, eyes still closed, so he hears Wei Ying's pleased little huff of breath. Has to imagine the darkening of his pupils. Whatever you need, he says, low, and then he pushes Lan Zhan against the counter and pins him there, hands in his hair, tongue in his mouth, a thigh pressed heavy between Lan Zhan's legs. Lan Zhan melts into it, lets himself relax, lets the counter and his girlfriend prop him up and keep him in place. Pliant and obedient. He doesn't have to think about anything but the hot slide of Wei Ying's tongue against his, Wei Ying's hands opening his robe and slipping underneath, the pressure of Wei Ying's thigh on his still soft dick. Wei Ying's movements are deliberate and unhurried,
and he kisses Lun Zhan until he's breathless, before pulling away to mouth at his neck. Lun Zhan tips his head back with a sigh, immediately followed by a whimper when Wei Ying bites the tendon under his ear. "Come on, sweetheart," Wei Ying purrs in Lan Zhan's ear, tugging him away from the counter by the waist. "I want you in bed." Lan Zhan goes, and he does as he's told, and he moves wherever Wei Ying needs him as he peels off Lan Zhan's pajamas, and then he lays down on the bed, splayed limply across the towel and their pillows. And when Wei Ying holds up his sleep mask in question, Lun Zhan nods. He wants to stop being a person for a little while, and if he doesn't have to see anything, then he doesn't have to think about what he's seeing. He's already halfway floaty, subspace opening up below him like a pool of water he can sink into. But he wants more. He wants to be Wei Ying's, and nothing else. "You're so pretty like this," Wei Ying tells him, settling the mask in place and leaving Lun Zhan in the velvet darkness behind his eyes. His hands trail over Lan Zhan's cheeks, down his neck and chest. Lun Zhan shivers, fingers twitching at his sides. The mattress shifts under him, telegraphing movement, and Wei Ying settles in a straddle across his thighs in a warm, comforting weight. "Gorgeous," he says, hands coming back to Lun Zhan's collarbones, and then petting firmly down his body all the way to his hips. "So good for me," he says, as he repeats the movement, a heated drag of skin on skin. "My Lun Zhan is always good." Lun Zhan's breath catches, his hands curling into fists and then relaxing. Wei Ying thinks he's good, and when he says it with that conviction, makes it easier for Lun Zhan to believe him. Lun Zhan's next exhale takes a lingering tension with it, hard places around his heart easing up. He wants his hands on Wei Ying's skin, but he's being good, and that means waiting patiently. He's waited patiently for so long, he can do it a little longer. "You want to touch me, don't you?" Wei Ying asks, with amusement in his voice. Lun Zhan nods, flattening his hands to the mattress, so he's not tempted to take too much. "I always want you to touch me," Wei Ying says, encircling Lun Zhan's wrists and pressing his palms to what Lun Zhan is fairly certain are Wei Ying's thighs. "I always feel good when my Lun Zhan touches me," Wei Ying tells him, like it's a secret, squeezing Lan Zhan's wrists before he goes back to his agenda of full-body petting. "It's all I ever think about. Either you're touching me, or I'm wondering how long it will be before you can touch me. Those are the only two options." Lan Zhan sighs, spreading his fingers wide against Wei Ying's skin. He explores a little, confirming that he is, indeed, touching Wei Ying's thighs. There's the beginnings of stubble under his hands. Wei Ying usually shaves his legs before particularly femme shoots, and it's been just long enough the hair to start getting prickly again. Lun Zhan loves the feeling, loves all the feelings of Wei Ying's legs under his hands, whether smooth or with the hair grown out, or the way it is now, soft skin, and the occasional little bites against the ridges of his fingertips. He allows his grip to drift up to Wei Ying's hips and settle there, wishing through the haze that he wasn't wearing the blindfold, because it really is one of his favorite views. Then Wei Ying palms his pecs, thumbs circling around Lun Zhan's nipples, and Lun Zhan stops thinking. "So sensitive," Wei Ying says, as Lan Zhan's hands clench on his hips, a moan shivering out of his throat. Ah, Lan Zhan, baby, you make me feel like an artist. Without meaning to, Lan Zhan snorts. Most of his words are gone again, dissolved like sugar in water. But what he means is, you are an artist. Wei Ying laughs lightly and tweaks one of Lan Zhan's nipples in punishment / reward. How are you so sassy even when you're subbing? He asks, his voice as warm as his hands. Back to teasing Lan Zhan's nipples, heat coiling all through his blood with every movement of Wei Ying's fingers. If anyone in this relationship is the brat, it's me. Lan Zhan squeezes Wei Ying's hips in acknowledgement, and Wei Ying abandons his nipples to cup Lan Zhan's face and kiss him, gently. Stay put for me, love. Wei Ying climbs off Lan Zhan, which is terrible, but he can hear him elsewhere in the bedroom, so Lan Zhan endures the separation bravely. He settles his hands next to his head and breathes, the mattress soft underneath him, holding up his battered body as gently as Wei Ying treats his battered heart. He blinks in the darkness of the blindfold, eyes prickling with tears again, because he still cannot believe he gets to have this, that he gets to be treated with such care and reverence and love. I'm back, Wei Ying says, his hand settling on Lan Zhan's hip, so near to where he'd like to be touched, and yet so far. Is Lan Zhan leaking onto his stomach already? Probably. It can be hard to tell when his pre-cum and his skin both burn with the same heat. Wei Ying's thumb brushes Lan Zhan's inner thigh, back and forth. Lan Zhan wants that touch on his cock. Spread your legs for me a little, sweetie. Lan Zhan obeys, and for his reward, Wei Ying tucks what must be the wand vibrator into the cleft of his thighs, the round head of it against his hole, and clicks it on. Lan Zhan tenses and moans, giving in to the urge to grind his hips in slow circles. It's the lowest setting, but the vibrator is powerful, a deep rumble that he can feel through his pubic bone, rattling all the way up to his ribs. He's fully gone now, floating and blank, and focused only on the tense heat rolling in waves behind his lowest abs. Good boy, Wei Ying says, petting the outside of his thigh. Can you put your legs back together? Can you hold this in place for me? It takes a moment for Lan Zhan to remember how to move, and Wei Ying has to help a little by actively pushing on one knee before he gets the hint. But Lan Zhan gets his thighs clamped together around the vibe and, by necessity, around Wei Ying's hand. That hand strokes over his skin as Wei Ying wiggles it free, runs up his leg to cup his balls and caress them lightly. The movement tugs just enough that Lan Zhan feels it at the head of his dick. He makes a wordless, wanting sound, and this time he knows he's leaking, hot liquid dripping to his skin as his cock pulses. Wei Ying's tongue joins the party, Lan Zhan jolting in surprise as his boyfriend licks pre-cum from his abs while carefully avoiding his dick. You like that? Wei Ying asks, as Lan Zhan moans again. I can tell. You're always so desperate for me, aren't you? He drags his mouth along the ridges of Lan Zhan's abdomen, over the bottom of his ribcage, up to one of Lan Zhan's nipples. Composed, calm, considerate Lan Zhan, secretly always wanting my mouth and my hands and my cock. He latches on to the hard nub of Lan Zhan's nipple, sucking and flicking it with his tongue. And Lan Zhan clenches his hands into fists next to his head,
and arches up into the touch. His thighs shake where they're clamped around the wand vibrator, muscles already burning a little from the constant, needy little circles he can't stop his hips from making. Lan Zhan could come like this if Wei Ying would just touch his dick. If Wei Ying would just give him something to grind against, he could get off in seconds. But for all that Wei Ying is draped across his body, erection pressed to the crest of Lan Zhan's pelvis, he's very, very good at teasing, and he keeps all his limbs carefully away from Lan Zhan's erection. Wei Ying pulls off his nipple with a wet pop and scrapes it with his teeth, the sudden pain crackling down Lan Zhan's spine. "Tell me you want me," Wei Ying orders, moving back to straddle Lan Zhan's thighs, but not his dick, because Wei Ying is a monster, and digging his thumbs into the spot where his hip flexors pass below bone. "Ah," Lan Zhan says, the beautiful, sharp pressure overwhelming. It hurts so much, and he loves it.
"I want you. Ah,"
he chokes out, as Wei Ying's thumbs move back and forth, grinding against muscle knots and forcing them to release. "How much do you want me?" Wei Ying tightens his knees, driving Lan Zhan's legs even tighter around the vibrator, and he can't circle his hips anymore. All he can do is rock against it, fucking it against and around his hole. "It's good, but not enough. He wants... Answer me," Wei Ying demands, shifting his grip to dig his fingers into the top of Lan Zhan's IT bands in a blazing sear of agony and relief.
"So much,"
Lan Zhan pants, all of him aflame.
"Always, every way."
Wei Ying's tongue drags across his other, neglected nipple. Lan Zhan squirms in a way he never ever does when he's in control of his faculties.
"Want you on me, under me, in me, Wei Ying. Wei Ying."
Teeth dig in, two semicircles around his areola, and all of Lan Zhan's words leave him to float outside of his body as he keens, raggedly, wanting to push up into Wei Ying's mouth and pull away to escape. He does neither, rigid, shaking, and when Wei Ying releases him, he collapses to the mattress and tries to remember how to breathe. "How do you want me today, my Lan Zhan?" Wei Ying asks, taking his hands away from the wonderful work they were doing on his hips, so he can, instead, pet Lan Zhan all up and down his body like he's soothing a cat. Lan Zhan relaxes, slowly, hands uncurling next to his head. He doesn't answer because he can't, because he meant what he said. He wants Wei Ying always, in every way. He makes a little confused sound, trying to communicate this. Wei Ying pauses with his hands on Lan Zhan's collarbones. He says, thoughtfully, stroking along the jut of hard bone under delicate skin. "Should I guess? I bet, sweetheart, that you want my cock." Wei Ying grabs his jaw, thumb in Lan Zhan's mouth, before Lan Zhan can react, pushing firmly down on his tongue. "I bet you want me inside you," he says, conversationally, as Lan Zhan whines and shivers and tries not to move, hips still rocking against the vibrator. "I bet you want me to fuck you until you beg me to let you come. I bet you want my cock so far inside you, you forget you were ever empty. I bet you want me to remind you who you belong to." He pinches Lan Zhan's nipple, smothering the moan by shoving his thumb so far into Lan Zhan's mouth that the heel of his hand presses against Lan Zhan's lips. "I bet you want me to make you mine." Both hands gentle, moving to cradle Lan Zhan's face. And when Wei Ying speaks next, his lips brush Lan Zhan's. "Is that what you want, Lan Zhan?"
Yes, Lan Zhan breathes, body occasionally jolting, as he gets a really good angle on the vibrator against his hole.
Yes, Wei Ying, I want that.
Say it, Wei Ying orders, teeth scraping against Lan Zhan's jaw, and it whites out his brain, everything far away and wonderful. Be good and say it out loud, Lan Zhan.
I want you to fuck me,
Lan Zhan says, when he's found his tongue again.
I want you to claim me.
He tips his head back, giving Wei Ying room to bite a bruise into the base of his throat, knowing that his moan will vibrate against Wei Ying's mouth and teeth.
Take me,
he begs.
Wei Ying, please.
Good boy, Wei Ying says, getting both hands into Lan Zhan's hair, and he kisses him. It's a prelude to fucking. Lan Zhan can barely breathe for how deep Wei Ying's tongue is in his mouth. He feels used, dirty, like he exists only for Wei Ying's pleasure, so Wei Ying can take whatever he wants. And maybe he shouldn't like it, but it's so simple. There's only Wei Ying, and Wei Ying will tell him what to do, and Lan Zhan doesn't have to make any decisions or worry about anything. He can just be. Come on, Wei Ying says, when Lan Zhan is panting and useless. Let's get you situated, sweetie. It takes some effort, and a lot of trust, since Lan Zhan is still blindfolded. But between Wei Ying's careful guidance and Lan Zhan's eventual control over his limbs, Wei Ying gets him where he wants him. Lan Zhan drapes himself face down over what feels like several pillows, more of them under his hips, one under his shoulders, leaving himself ass up and humiliatingly exposed. Except that humiliation is the last thing on his mind, not with Wei Ying petting the outside of his thigh with soothing caresses. Good boy, Wei Ying says, dropping a kiss on Lan Zhan's sacrum. Stay still while I get you ready for me. Lan Zhan shivers when Wei Ying's gloved fingers press against his rim, moving in slow, slippery circles that soothe and wind him up at the same time. He keeps up the tease, almost a massage, while he kisses up and down Lan Zhan's back. And it's so much and it's not enough, and by the time Wei Ying pushes two lubed fingers in at once, Lan Zhan relaxes around the intrusion, ready to take Wei Ying's hand, ready to take whatever of Wei Ying he can get. Barely knew this at all, sweetie, Wei Ying says, admiringly. His free hand palms Lan Zhan's ass, spreading him obscenely. Is he watching himself work? Lan Zhan squirms in embarrassment, hiding his burning face in the sheets. His hips have a mind of their own, rocking back to meet the movements of Wei Ying's fingers, dragging his cock along the towel with just enough friction to make him leak, not nearly enough to make him come. I love watching you take me, he says, working a third finger in, confirming Lan Zhan's earlier suspicion. I love watching how much you want it. Lan Zhan moans, fucking against the pillows as Wei Ying does something wonderful and cruel inside of him. Wei Ying shifts his weight, draping himself half over Lan Zhan's back, and bites the tip of his ear. I love that I'm the only one who knows what a slut you are. Lan Zhan's cock jerks. Wei Ying doesn't call him names very often, but when he does, it goes straight past any part of Lan Zhan's rational brain and right to his body.
Yes,
he says, fisting his hands in the sheets next to his head.
I'm yours. I'm your slut.
Such a sweet little harlot, Wei Ying says, fondly. He spreads his fingers a little, stretching Lan Zhan until he whimpers.
I can make you beg for my cock, he muses, almost conversationally. I could make you beg me to fuck your sensitive little hole. Make you beg me to treat you like the animal you secretly are. You like begging me, don't you, Lan John?
Yes,
Lan John says, squeezing his eyes shut, even under the blindfold.
Please, Wei Ying. I want it.
I know, Wei Ying says, smugness rolling off him in waves like body heat. And he takes the warm line of his skin away from Lan John, the mattress dipping between Lan John's knees. Next time I'll make you beg, he decides, curling his fingers against Lan John's prostate. Right now I want to make you take me. His hand lands on Lan John's ass in a loud smack, the sound almost as startling as the sting, and Lan John clenches around his fingers and muffles a cry into the mattress. He doesn't get time to recover, Wei Ying pulling out his fingers and replacing them with his dick, while Lan John is still reeling. He moans into the sheets again, legs shaking, as the head of Wei Ying's cock stretches him open, as Wei Ying makes him take it to the hilt.
Good boy, Wei Ying says, when he can't go any further, draping himself over Lan John's back.
He brushes Lan John's hair aside, baring the back of his neck, and kisses the spot where it meets Lan John's shoulders.
You're so good at taking me. You love having your girlfriend's cock inside you, don't you?
Yes,
Lan John says, rolling his hips as much as he's able, which doesn't get him anything like a thrust, but shifts where Wei Ying's filling him up, dragging against his insides and leaving him breathless.
You feel good, he says,
clenching and doing it again and again, until he's panting and writhing and utterly mindless.
Please, please, he tries, his voice hitching. Please, Wei Ying.
Desperate, Wei Ying says, fondly. He settles his hands on Lan John's wrists, thumbs digging into the pulse points, and pins them down.
Needy,
he says, drawing his hips back, achingly slow.
Mine,
he says, snaps them forward, driving Lan John into the pillows with the harsh slap of his thrust.
Yours,
Lan John agrees, doing his best to rock back and meet Wei Ying's thrusts. He can get just enough leverage for a little extra jolt every time Wei Ying bottoms out. But Wei Ying is laying fully on top of him, and his legs are spread to an absolutely wanton degree. There's no power to be had, no resistance. Lan John finds himself unable to do much other than lay there and take it. It's perfect. Weighing around him and on top of him and in him, so deep and hard that the yawning emptiness of earlier is a distant memory that belonged to some other, different Lan John.
Oh,
he says, clenching up, Wei Ying's movements suddenly right where he needs them.
Wei Ying, Wei Ying, can I?
Teeth close on the juncture of his shoulder and neck, digging into the muscle, and Lan John cries out raggedly into the sheets, louder than he means to.
He's so close, he just needs... My sweet little slut wants to come?
Wei Ying asks, into his ear, fucking Lan John with those same sharp jabs, making a space for himself in Lan John's body. Lan John nods, nose full of their combined scent on the sheets, sweat prickling everywhere they touch. He's trapped. He can't move. He's Wei Ying's, and he wants.
You can come whenever you want, sweetie, Wei Ying says, kissing across the nape of his neck, under his hairline, where Lan John is absurdly sensitive. You've been so good for me, my love. My Lan John.
He kisses the top knob of Lan John's spine, the sensation shivering across every inch of Lan John's overstimulated skin.
I have you, he whispers, nipping at Lan Zhan's ear now, his mouth everywhere. Whatever you need, baby.
Harder,
Lan Zhan grits out, the slick slide of Wei Ying's dick driving him ever and ever closer. There's enough friction with the now damp towel that Lan Zhan can almost taste his orgasm, the anticipation tight in the muscles of his abs, and where he keeps clenching, and where Wei Ying keeps forcing him open.
I want it, he begs, arching his back, trying for just a little more,
and Wei Ying growls and fucking gives it to him. It's hard and frantic, and just on the edge of pain, and Lan Zhan spreads himself wider, greedy for everything Wei Ying has. And then there are teeth sinking into his trapezius again, and Wei Ying's cock slamming home, and Lan Zhan convulses, muscles spasming, and comes into the towel with a harsh groan. It goes on and on in waves, Wei Ying not stopping for a moment, fucking Lan Zhan with absolutely no mercy whatsoever. Lan Zhan shakes and gasps for air, and when it's just on the edge of too much, Wei Ying moans, breath hot and humid against Lan Zhan's hairline, and his dick pulses in Lan Zhan's sore, fucked-out ass. The rush of liquid warmth as Wei Ying comes is one of Lan Zhan's favorite parts of bottoming, which is a little surprising, seeing as it's messy and inconvenient and honestly objectively gross. Lan Zhan fucking loves it. Loves feeling full and used and dismantled, and so unlike his daily regimented self. He manages to wiggle back and get Wei Ying's dick just a little bit deeper before he gives up control of his body entirely, limp and sleepy. He's done now. He was good. Now he gets to drift in the soft, quiet place that Wei Ying sends him, occasionally twitch with an aftershock, and not think at all about anything. Good boy, Wei Ying says a little while later, brushing his lips over the back of Lan Zhan's neck again, forcing another pleasant little shiver out of muscles that would quite like to stop moving now. He releases Lan Zhan's wrists so he can interlace their fingers, thumbs drifting in circles over whatever parts of Lan Zhan's hands they can reach. My Lan Zhan. Another kiss, another shiver. I love you so much. Lan Zhan's floating and pinned down at the same time, in his body and outside of it. A study in contradictions. But the bedrock of him is still the same. He loves Wei Ying, utterly and furiously. This is the only reason he summons the muscular control to turn his head to the side and drag Wei Ying's hand closer, until he can brush his lips, unseeing, over Wei Ying's knuckles.
Wei Ying,
he says, indistinctly.
Yours.
He nips once out of habit, but it's too much work to do it again.
Love you.
Wei Ying shudders and squeezes him closer, pressing against as much of Lan Zhan as he possibly can. Do you need me to move? He asks, nose tucked into Lan Zhan's hair. Lan Zhan tightens his grip on Wei Ying's hands in answer, clumsily managing to get his forearms on top of Wei Ying's, in the world's weakest pin. Okay, I get it, Wei Ying reassures him, laughter in his voice, and kisses what Lan Zhan is guessing will turn out to be a bruise. Whatever you need, sweetie, he murmurs, settling his cheek on Lan Zhan's back. Whatever you need. Later, Lan Zhan knows they'll need to move, and he'll need to be bullied into a shower, and he'll need to brush his teeth and get ready for bed properly. Later, he'll need to let go of Wei Ying and return to being his own person. Return to the world of rational thought and less rational emotions. Later, he'll have to be strong again. Have to be calm again. Have to be Lan Zhan again. But all that will come later. Right now, he's Wei Ying's, and that's all he needs to be. "I have you," he whispers, nipping at Lan Zhan's ear now, his mouth everywhere. "Whatever you need, baby."
"Harder,"